Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to have Pastor Gary and Aunt Connie back.
It's good to be here.
You guys have a good visit?
We did.
We did have a good visit.
Did you get to see the grandbaby?
Yes.
Great grandbaby.
Great, that's right. My bad. There's something in Proverbs about that, right? Treasure of the gray-haired man. An old plumber once told me, it's possum blonde.
Possum blonde.
Possum blonde.
Just doesn't sound flattering.
I think it's great. Before we get started tonight, I know we have a few things that I wanted to check. I know Talon and James visited someone. And I know we're encouraged about Mary Ann. She's feeling much better now. And then there was one other one. We also need to make an announcement. Saturday is the cookie exchange. Invite different ones that the Lord may lead in your path, right? And we want to fill that house up for different ones to hear the gospel.
Open up the doors.
That's right. Your house, your guys' house is going to turn into the upper room. That's cool. But if you have any questions or anyone, get with Lori. She'll fill you in on the time. See here, there was one other one, but Talon, you and James went and visited a man that, through when you were at Vistar, God had brought him into your path, and he had did some air conditioner work for you and your dad and James, and now some things are going on with him. Do you want to share?
Yeah, so, I had actually met him through another customer in Vistar initially. I was looking for an AC guy, and he had come out and done some work on it. He replaced the AC. The entire time, he's always been just very mindful of us as a young family. Like, he's tried to help me over the phone or text me so that he doesn't have to charge me a trip charge, and just different things, just acts of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had called him 2 weeks ago. We had an issue with the air conditioner. He had come out. And then actually my boss had an issue last week, and I texted him, and his wife called me and said that they were driving the Friday after they left my house. He had a seizure behind the wheel, and they totaled the truck. He was in the hospital. So at that time, you know, I was talking to her on the phone, like, if you guys need anything, you know, let me know. She said, okay, well, if you want to come visit him in the hospital, feel free. I had never met him. Every time he'd come to work on the house, I was at work. I think James and my parents had met him before I ever even met him. So mm-hmm. last night at the hospital was the first time I'd actually met him in person.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his wife was, I could tell that there was obviously a worry there. He was the main breadwinner. There, you know, no truck, no financials coming in. You know, there was obviously a worry there. And so I really just God put on my heart to go visit them and just see how they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They did a spinal tap yesterday, and they're waiting on word back to try to figure out what's causing the seizures. They also did a biopsy. He's got a spot on his lung, and they found out about an hour before we got there that it was cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it is lung cancer. They believe it's spreading to the lymph nodes at this point, but they don't know for sure. There's more tests kind of going on throughout the week. So James and I, we were stopped in. He was kind of, you know, not quite all the way there between the pain meds and just mm-hmm. everything going on. But he did let us pray with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife asked me originally if we were praying people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, yeah, I'm very much a praying person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her, you know, if they were going to church anywhere. And at that time she said, you know, no, we're praying people, but we're not attending a church at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the Lord's graciousness to kind of bring us into someone that's already receptive. You know, it's not like we were getting stuff thrown at us when we were there to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, someone that may be confused. about their faith or, you know, where they're actually at. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a door, more so even with his wife, to just talk with her and kind of, you know, open that dialogue a bit, mm-hmm. as he's working through a bunch of the stuff in the hospital. So, yeah, it's we're kind of taking it day by day. They should have some more answers by the end of the week about how he's doing. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at. We're just waiting on answers and just, you know, seeking the opportunities the Lord's laid out.
Yeah, the Lord's. I remember with my old plumber. After I received the Lord, he ended up catching. It was cancer and ultimately went to his brain, but it was that cancer that brought him to the Lord. And sometimes it's hard for us to see it in the world, you know, especially unbelievers. But as believers, we realize that that cancer is that which brings them to that place of brokenness to cry out to God for salvation. And I also had another opportunity with the real estate agent that we bought our house with. I forget, we met him through a woman that used to come to this church. We actually went to rent a house, and the woman went here years and years ago. It's God ordained. And this was a realtor that she knew. It was Vicky. And this realtor's name was Ted. I believe it was a Jewish man. And he ended up getting cancer shortly after we bought our home. And on his deathbed, a few days before, I was able to lead him to the Lord. And so you just see different appointed times. It's a lot like the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, you know, God had, or the Philippian jailer and Paul, you know, that God had ordained that time for you to meet this man. And we're praying at this time for the whole situation at this time, too, with her salvation, his salvation, the wife's salvation. And Ted's wife actually came to church here one Sunday, and then she ultimately ended up going back to church with Vicky. And so it was just the hand of the Lord. At that moment, God brings someone in, and you never know how long you're going to, you know them, but they're all ordained meetings. So.
Well, it's been the Lord's graciousness in the last couple of weeks to even like show me the path that we got to this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at the time, most of the time, when something breaks in my house, I'm pretty irritated until I get the thing fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time it was okay, Lord, like I've been going through James. Do you consider joy?
Yes, yeah, great.
Trials, you know, this isn't a big trial in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
I actually fixed it the first time, so he wasn't going to need to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I didn't fix it all the way because it blew up after that again.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
he had to come out. You know, if that wouldn't have happened, the interaction wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have been at the top of my mind when my boss asked for it. And so just looking at how the Lord's orchestrated these small problems in our life to mm-hmm. allow this to happen,
mm-hmm.
just his graciousness to show us that and to show, like, me and Christy as we've looked through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, his kindness to do that. Sometimes you hear that, consider it joy when you encounter trials.
Yeah.
Kinda, it's like, okay, I'm considering it joy, Lord.
Right.
When's the joy going to come?
Yeah.
But this one, it's his graciousness to make it a pretty immediate response.
So. And I like that consider it joy in that text because a part of it is a calm delight. It's not necessarily you jumping up and down, you know, but it's a calm delighting and rejoicing in his goodness in the midst of this. Okay, you're doing something. What is it? Sometimes it's for us and sometimes it's for them, and it's both. It makes me think, as you were talking about Onesimus and Paul. He threw Paul in prison. Onesimus was on his way shortly after, and Paul being in that prison was what led Onesimus to the Lord. You know, so you realize God's ordained appointing. He's appointing all of these different situations in our lives. And a lot like what I say, we're salt. So he's going to shake some of us out over here and some of us over there. If you put too much of us in one spot, we're just going to plain be nasty. So we're just not, we got to be spread out in order to bring the flavor out, proper flavor of God's light. So probably shouldn't use the word nasty from the pulpit, but I'm learning. But we can remember, what's his name, Talon?
Ben
and his wife's name?
Jackie.
Jackie. I'm going to be remembering them. Also, I remember now the other is Kim Phelps visiting her brother Scott and his wife Stacy. They're going through some situations, and Kim is up there ministering to her brother. And we're praying for an opportunity for her to talk with Stacy as well. And so be remembering our sister as well as she's out ministering. She is a Phoebe. She's a faithful sister. And then the other, Marianne. So you spent some time with Marianne.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, today they got out, and she said, praise Jesus. She says, I'm not feeling any pain, and she says, we even caught a movie this afternoon, and she's asked Virginia to bring her to church on Sunday, and she's looking forward to the cookie exchange.
Yes, I saw her name.
So it's exciting to see that as she's recovering, she's giving that, that honor, that gratitude to the Lord, and
right.
the desire to want to come back to the body. We've had many conversations about the new member class. She comes from a background that she's not used to that kind of stuff, and she didn't really understand
right.
what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
Just some really neat conversations, because I see the Lord stirring, and I think we all know she is a widow, and November's a tough month for her as it is, as it's the anniversary. But overall,
okay.
I mean, I was happy to hear and happy to see her reaching out and asking for care from the others.
I was encouraged as you were sharing, now that she is feeling better, her desire to be here, her desire to want to be with the body, her desire to want to be in fellowship and to hear the word of God and seek God.
Her daughter Cheryl was over the other day, and it was neat because I was on the phone with her as Cheryl was coming in, and I hear Cheryl like, does that church ever leave you alone?
Right.
And she was very gracious, She said, Cheryl, you don't understand until you experience it. She says, This is my new family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard her say.
And this is her daughter that said that?
Her daughter was asking, yeah. And
right.
And I think she was sort of being kind of joked, but it's that guilt, a little bit of feeling like, gosh, there's somebody else that's tending to, and you kind of know maybe you should, I don't know.
Well, and it's foreign sometimes, too.
Yeah. But I just thought it was neat that she wasn't angry, she wasn't angry, she was just like, matter of fact, like, this is my new family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I relate to Marianne in some levels, because she has that Catholic background, and a couple of may know that sometimes, it's new and it's different. The experiences you have about church.
So yeah, we're learning,
how God is kindly showing her his heart and his intent, and that we all get to participate in his work in doing that.
Yeah, his graciousness in bringing us to him, and then giving us the truth of God, his word, But I was real encouraged to see her heart in that. I know, for a while now, we had mentioned her for a few good weeks and had been praying for her as a body, so we're really thankful, looking forward to seeing her. So, and thankful she's feeling better. The surgery went well, praise God, but that she's feeling better. And her heart is what I was really encouraged with. So we got the different ones, of course. Ben, what's his wife's name again?
Jackie.
Okay, Jackie. And thankful for Marianne's heart, and remember Kim Phelps visiting her brother. Is there any other prayer requests before we get started?
It's on the bathroom door, it says Sally Miller.
Yeah. Okay. Kim Ferris, do you want to follow us up with that? Sally Miller has surgery. It was something that Kim sent, and Kim's not feeling well. Be remembering her as well.
Carol told me Sunday that she was doing really well with things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's a widow that she's been coming here for some time as well. So, anyone else before we get started? Yes, Talon.
Just be praying for him and his wife. They're going through hard time right now.
Okay. Yeah, Pete.
Well, praise report. I have to have you say my daughter finally touched base with Lori and I and my grandson after 3 months of silence. So we were grateful for the prayers and for just the Lord's graciousness to us. It was out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke with them for a good hour. Watched our grandson just speak sentences at 2.5 years old. So it was really a lovely time for both of us.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
He's a genius.
What was that?
He's a genius.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but he probably thinks so. But my sister, I spoke to my sister, and her good friend went through breast cancer 5 years ago, and it's back, and she's really facing that. It's starting to spread through her body, and my sister's, I think the Lord is working through her friend, because we were all raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's very strong in the Catholic way,
mm-hmm.
and it gives me an opportunity to open the door to speak to her about her sharing her faith with her friend, and not just being, let's say, well, I don't know, distant from it,
mm-hmm.
but really speaking about Jesus and the love that he has and the Lord's sovereign and doing good works, and that hopefully she sees that and wants to broaden her courage to
mm-hmm.
speak the Lord to her friend, who's
mm-hmm.
a good friend of hers since third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's really hitting her heart, so I'll ask for prayer for her to, for both, for the Lord to work in my sister, but also in her cousin, or I'm sorry, her friend Donna.
What's your sister's name?
Marianne.
And which one has the...
Donna
has, okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Some of you guys know, but we have a neighbor across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Her son, Jace, came to visit us on one of the Wednesday nights. But his mom, Naomi, has been desiring, and they've been attending a church, but they are going through... She recently lost... a family member over Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad is going through some health issues, but there's a bunch of legal things going on,
mm-hmm.
and she feels like she has to take the burden on. And just prayer, because she knows her faith is weak.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't, you know, as I've encouraged her to lean on the Word, and she is. But just more prayer for, you know, to keep leaning on the Word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot of burden on her. She's taking on a lot of responsibility that she doesn't need to, and she knows.
Mm-hmm.
She just needs that clear clarity from the Lord.
Yeah. Aunt Connie, did you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to open us up in prayer tonight, and then we'll get into the Word here. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come before you. Lord, you tell us you're our good shepherd, and you're going to lead us and use us as you so see fit. And Lord, we've given our lives to you. And so, Father, please forgive us for the many times that we've set out and set our eyes on just the world and just earthly things, rather than, you know, Lord, waking up and saying, okay, Lord, my desire is to be used by you today. My desire is to please you today. And Lord, you use us in spite of ourselves at times. And there are times, Lord, that we wake up and we're focused on you and the right things and wanting to do your will. And so, Lord, we just want to praise you at this time for bringing different ones in our path. Of course, we think of Ben and Vicky, and Lord, our desire is to intercede for all of these different ones and lift them up to you. That, Lord, you begin to soften those hearts. That you begin to draw them to you, your divine draw, Lord. And you just give Talon the words to say when he needs to say them. But, Lord, our desire is to see them come to know you and to see their salvation secure in your arms, Lord. We also want to thank you for Mary Ann and, Lord, just the work that you're doing in her life. And we lift up her daughter and the whole family to you at this time. That, Lord, we believe that you're calling Mary Ann to be a light to her daughters and to begin to share the gospel with them. A lot of times we like to think big and huge and Billy Graham. But, Lord, you're relational. And you just want us to be able to share and minister right where we are. We also think of Kim Phelps, Lord, our sister, as she's ministering where she is with Scott and Stacy. And Lord, we're just going to pray that you would open up a door for the gospel where Kim is, Lord. And we're going to just pray for reconciliation, and we're going to pray for restoration, Lord. We're going to thank you for the work that you're doing and making the loved ones that we've been separated from to call. And just give us an opportunity to share your love with them, and Lord, to just praise you in front of them as we plant the seeds of the gospel with them. And we just lift up Sally Miller and thank you, Lord, for just the work you're doing there. And we thank you for Carol, Lord, and for just her heart. And I thank you for all the different ones in the body, Lord, that are just ministering. And we just praise you. We thank you for the opportunities. Lord, pray that you just keep our hearts focused on you. And Lord, that we just keep serving you and we truly see what's really beneficial in this life, watching you touch different ones' hearts and bring them to you and encourage other believers in you. Lord, may we're encouraged tonight of the work that you're doing, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If we would, let's go ahead and open up to Proverbs chapter 7 at this time. We kind of did a brief recap and ran up and barely touched on verses 1 and 2. So what I'd like to do tonight is we're just going to back right up into Proverbs 2. There's a lot that we could talk about, and there's a lot that I do want to begin to cover. And just as probably the just more digging that I have done and different ways or different truths of the whole of Proverbs and really how we see it being probably shrunk and talked about. But for now, we're just going to jump right into Proverbs 7 and work our way and, Lord willing, go through 1 through 5. I almost forgot, but I do have another announcement, and I apologize. It is next Wednesday is the is the children's Christmas. And so we'll all come together as a family in here, and then we'll have a regular service afterwards. And then the Wednesday after that would be the time of Christmas hymns. Did I cover all that right?
Yeah. And finger foods, so sign up
for that. Finger foods on the Christmas night. I'm starting to run them all together because we have multiple days that we're doing different things to kind of set up for all of that. And if anybody would like to help with setting up and breaking down, please come and help for those who can. Peter, I'm not looking at you at all. Thank you, brother. Wow. Gracious man. But let's just jump right into Proverbs 7. But there is a lot that I've just been digging and just so much that goes into it that I've really seen as great treasures. And I felt like when we get to that right spot, kind of share some of those with you. And I've just been real thankful. But if we jump right into Proverbs 7, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. This word keep, just my son, we realize that it's an endearing statement. We know that this is a statement of love, a statement of care. I know a lot of times we can read through Proverbs and you may not always necessarily think of love. But if we're thinking of a son, if we're thinking of my child, these are things of love. These are things of care that I'm sharing with you. It would be wrong of us to read through anything of God's word and in no way or in any way leave out love as the motivation. And so at times with Proverbs, you have to step back and you have to make sure you keep instilling God's character into the book. So I do love this word, keep. There's so much that goes into it. It is the word samar. It can have a meaning of to guard and to protect and to attend to. And it can tie into, let me put it this way, if you're going to guard and protect and attend to it, it is something that you have to see as valuable. You have to care for something. For instance, if it's something that you're guarding and protecting, you're thinking like crops or something along those lines or a flock in a way, you realize that it's something that would be a benefit to you. It's a benefit to your family and it's a benefit to others. So you're in this particular context, from what I can see in the Strong's Concordance and the lexicon, it seems to tie into a following the dictates, which would be an utterance, to utter words to be transcribed. I thought that was neat as you look up the word dictates. Is he sharing things that need to be transcribed? These are things that need to be remembered. These are things that are giving dictation to for others to read or for a proper account. So The word also dictates, I appreciate, can have a ruling principle in your life. Let this be a ruling principle in your life. It would also tie in to, if I can put it this way, dictates here would talk about the following the dictates. What would be those directives in our life? And in the lexicon, it would talk about, so it would use four words. It would use the word prudence. It would use the word justice. It would use the word kindness. And then the word wisdom. And as you begin to dig on these different words, I really appreciated the word prudence because there was so much that went into it just from our Merriam-Webster dictionary. The word prudence, about four main ways they would describe the word. And if we're thinking about something I mentioned last week, if we're thinking about a man, a young man that's getting ready to come into the kingship, or if I can put it to you this way, a young man that's fixing to come into his own, and he's now going to have all this authority with no one to watch over him. And how important it is that the things of God would be instilled into this young man. Because you have someone that's being called out to not just care for themselves anymore, but to now care for others. A king just can't go and live however he wants to. We talked about this some last week. It sounds a lot like a Christian. A Christian can't just go live however he wants to. A Christian now has, he has to now take into consideration the things that I do affect others. I've now called into a place where I need to care for others. I can't just go live however I want to. I am now thinking in the realm of what is pleasing to God and what is caring for others the right way, is what is being mindful of others. So a king is in a position where he can't just live however he wants. And that's something I meant to say and don't want to keep repeating myself. So the word prudence, to come back to, the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. So I like that. These kind of words and the depth of them, as I'm thinking about a young man, as I think about even Donald that just recently left our home, and things wanting to instill in our children as parents. I think of, you know, Johnny getting ready to come of age, and at some point Daniel's going to be coming of age, and the things that you want to begin to instill in them, the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And we know that when we teach these things, because we know that blessing and favor are come from God. We understand that. So the most important thing that I can teach a young person or someone that God might bring into your life, the most important thing that I can teach them is what is pleasing to the Lord, because it is God is where good comes from. And actually, God is where best comes from. So the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. So there's a sense of you're looking at something and you're thinking through something and you're asking yourself, okay, what's best in this situation? What's pleasing to the Lord? That's a part of the word prudence. Another part of the word prudence, I love this one, is properly ordering your affairs. That's actually one of the sayings that John MacArthur would use as he's breaking down the word prudence in some of the study Bibles. It's actually one of the ways he explains prudence. And as if you've raising teenagers, one of the things that I have found is you really have to teach this. Because when you're young, you're not thinking about how to properly order my affairs. You're not thinking about the next day. You're not thinking about, okay, if I've got to get up early tomorrow, what do I need to do to prepare for that? And the last thing a young person's thinking about is thinking through his days. A lot of times it's just he does whatever his heart desires at that moment, which Proverbs 4 would caution us against doing that, would encourage us to guard the heart. But properly ordering your affairs, I really love that one. Thinking through how you need to do what needs to be done in a way that's going to help you be more successful in life. The other part of it was skill and good judgment in the use of resources. It sounds like budgeting. To me, these are all practical things as a Christian that you realize that will help you in your life, that will be a benefit to you in your life. But I guess what we could probably say is being a good steward with what God's given you. That would be pleasing to the Lord. So skill and good judgment in the use of your resources. And this last one is a way that it would describe the word prudence. And I really like this one too, is caution or circumspection as to danger and risk. I can tell you, raising teenagers now, and also with young children as well, they don't always look at something and see the danger and risk. I think there's a joke that the reason why emergency rooms were created is for little boys. That's a running joke, and I've lived that one out. We've had a kid that broke his finger on the way to church, before church. We had a kid break his arm at church, and he's sitting over there. Both of them were him. Sorry, D. But I tell you, I love the way that this word prudence, it's a wonderful word, and it covers so much, and it's so deep. But it's as if, you know, young people don't always see the dangers ahead. They don't always, and sometimes you don't learn them until you go through them. So there's a benefit to having age, because you can now look back and tell that younger person, hey, you want to be careful with that. There's a warning over there. The running joke that I had for a long time is they called me OSHA Josh, because in the construction trade and maybe other places too, they would make you go through OSHA classes, and that is safety on the job site. And so you'd have to sit through hours of this stuff, and it was to help you. I see you shaking your head. It would help you prevent accidents, and it would help you train you to see these accidents. And it's funny, because one time we were letting down plywood, and I had a young helper with me, and we had to take a lift, and it was all concrete walls, and it was 3/4-inch plywood, and he let the screw out of that top left corner. And I had it, and I thought he had pressure against the board. It's just what you're supposed to do, right? I didn't think I had to teach him that. And when that screw came out, that board came down like a scissor between my thumb and a concrete block wall in the middle of winter. And that thing came down, and it literally sliced the whole top of my thumb off through heavy-duty gloves. And I said, "You weren't holding the board." He goes, "No." I said, "I didn't think I had to tell you to put pressure. You don't just let it fall." But you realize young men don't see the danger. Young people don't see the danger ahead. And it is something that we as parents and other believers begin to invest in teaching them. It is something that God says, hey, there's danger over there. You need to stay away from it. But this word keep would be to follow the dictates. And those particular dictates that seem to be talked about are prudence, justice. So the word justice would be to separate right and wrong, truth from lie. The world is very alluring. We read this through Proverbs. And a young person can be very impressionable. And not only young people, but us even in our lives. 1 Corinthians would say, bad company corrupts good morals. If you hang around something long enough, it's going to affect you one way or another. So that word justice would be to separate right from wrong. Think of like a judge. You're separating right from wrong. You're separating truth from lie. These are things that I want you to guard. These are things that I want you to follow. So the word kindness, I love that it puts that in there, because you could almost read prudence and justice, and if you don't put kindness in there, you're going to have a bunch of Pharisees running around. And that's the last thing you want, because that does not represent the heart of God. What represents the heart of God is prudence, is all this different insight, is separating right from wrong, true from lie. And it is also kindness. It is caring for others. That when you go about doing what you're doing, is there a care for others? If we were to look in Matthew, it said to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He says, we're going to go a step further as you enter into the kingdom of Christ. This is a different way we're living. If I put it this way, we're going to reign differently. And like I said, there was a lot of things that I found, like the word Proverbs in and of itself, the very root word means to reign, and which would give us credence of why Pastor Gary titled Proverbs, Preparing Us to Reign. It is the very root word of Proverbs. I'm preparing you to be a light. I'm preparing you to care for others. I'm preparing you to have great responsibility in the life that I've given you. And what a great point that we see there. So the word kindness, and then, of course, wisdom. And in this particular case, it would be insight and good judgment. That you would have insight and good judgment. And then I would like to tack on the ability to physically apply it. I shared with you last week, you can have some guys coming out of the plumbing school and they have all this book knowledge, but you throw them in the field and they could not tell you how to run the systems in the walls or in the dirt and through the buildings. They couldn't tell you. They have all the book knowledge in the world, but they cannot physically apply it into real life situations. That's what we want to do. And so, excuse me. I would also say, too, someone might want to wipe this thing down when they're done so they don't pass that on to Pastor Gary. But I do love it. And another one of the words that I'd like to share, and some of these words help us understand the deeper meaning. God's word can take one word, and we know God is infinite. We can take one word in God's word sometimes and literally have a whole service on it, because it's so deep and it can mean so much. But it is the word circumspection that I do want to point out. It is careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. So you begin to try to instill in your children, and raising right now with our recent 15-year-old, you realize that at times this can take time. And praise God for His grace with us. As I think back when I was a young Christian, how much I didn't know, and the grace of God that kept teaching me and kept opening my eyes and heart to His Word and His ways and raising the awareness in me to begin to see things that before Christ I never would have saw, I never would have seen. But to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences is a part of that word circumspection, a part of this word to keep. With me saying that, I have to tack on, this cannot be a relying on your own thinking. So I have to put this out here, because sometimes we can start to read this word and dive into some of these words, and the natural tendency can be to rely, okay, well, I need to carefully consider all circumstances, possible consequences, pros and cons. That's not it. The purpose of weighing and thinking through different situations in our lives and what the Word of God is trying to convey to us is so that we can find out what is truly pleasing to the Lord. And that's why we think through it. That's why we pray through it. And we go, okay, God, there's certain situations you encounter and you're going, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. And we go to the Lord in prayer. And it's amazing how God in His grace will begin to bring different verses to mind, or He'll begin to burden your heart a certain way. And before long, you realize, okay, I'm taking a step of faith in what I feel and as or what I see to be pleasing to the Lord. And you take this step of faith and you've weighed out the different things, not relying on your own understanding, as Proverbs 3 would tell us, but thinking through what is truly pleasing to God and what does God's word say, because that's what I want to do, because that's where great blessing, where great benefit is going to come from. And on top of that, that's where I will experience the peace of God, the confidence of God, the grace of God, and that alone is a valuable, powerful thing in a Christian's life. So we'll keep moving here. My son, keep my words. The word words there is mentioned 22 times in the book of Proverbs, which is more times than any other book. And it doesn't seem like a really huge word. Job would have it 11 times, would be the next closest, which would kind of tell you the comparison there. It just by looking at the word itself, it doesn't seem like it would have huge impact by just the meaning of the word, because the word in and of itself just basically means something being said. But a part of the word would mean, I'm giving you the answer. It's the answer. Son, this is going to be the answer to all life's questions in your life. It's going to be right here through the word of God. And the things that I'm wanting to instill in you, it also can have a meaning of appointed unto you. Lord, these are the things that are being appointed unto you that God so desires to instill in you, to warn you, to protect you. And just by me backing up for a second, okay, I lost myself a little bit. Forgive me there. Proverbs 7, the title I gave the whole proverb is The Power of Cherishing. And the reason why I have it in there is the apple of your eye. And I believe a part of that's going to tie into remembering that God has cherished you. And as you begin to meditate and think upon that and receive that into your heart, it's going to be a protecting force in your life. So I wanted to kind of point that out. And then tonight's thrust that I wanted to give you in verses 1 through 5 was deep affection provides protection. That, and we're going to kind of walk through some of that. We're going to touch on the apple of the eye, the binding on the fingers, you are my sister, understanding is an intimate friend in verse 4, and look at verse 5, that they may keep you from an adulteress. You know, so from the foreigner who flatters with her words. And then as we go through the second half of this proverb, one of the things we're going to see is this young man that's out at night, and he takes the way to her house. And we're going to see some parallels with King David on the roof of his house. He shouldn't have been out there. He should have been somewhere else. And the thought is, well, I didn't know. No, there's a consequence to staying naive. And God's calling us out of that. Ephesians 5 would say learning what is pleasing to the Lord. And so there is a deceptive wondering that when you truly believe how much God loves you and everything that he's done to show you his love, and you wake up each day and you remind yourself of that, it is that power alone that'll keep you. And you'll just go, wow, Lord, thank you. You start taking your eyes off of God's love for you, it will not be long before you'll start looking for fulfillment in something else, which that would be the hostile act towards God. That would be me now missing the mark of doing what is right, the mark of perfection. That would be me believing that there would be fulfillment in anything other than my right relationship and pleasing the Lord, that sense of fulfillment that you'll get. So we'll talk more about that as we go. So the word words, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. The word treasure here, also the word keep can also have a meaning of to retain and treasure up in your memory. So we're tying into this remembrance. You're treasuring this up in your memory. We're seeing a father beginning to care for the son, not unlike God caring for you and I. My son, I want you to treasure these things within you. It's going to be a protecting force in your life. Very, very powerful there. So my point was, because what I'm giving you is God's word, it's not my own. So as a parent, the most important thing that we could ever give our children, the most important thing that we could ever give someone that God may bring into our path to encourage or to invest in, is that we're giving them the word of God. The most important things. We're giving them things pertaining to faith and the character of God, which the word of God would begin to explain properly. But the word treasure would be the word sapan. It is in the imperfect. And just so we know, the word keep is in the imperative. So it's a command. Son, this is something you're going to need to do. It's going to be a protecting force in your life. And then the word treasure is in the imperfect, so that means it's a continued action. It also would explain the imperfect as, if I put it this way, they're more concerned, or God is more concerned with how you're doing it necessarily than when. But it's how you're going about doing this. So what's the heart behind it? So here it is. You're seeing that these words, these sayings, this the word that's being appointed to you, the direction, the dictates that are being appointed to you, the direction of God, the way God is saying is best and pleasing, being as valuable in that you're treasuring it inside you, within thy own self. Matthew 6:21 and Luke 12:34, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And so we can see even New Testament fulfillment where Christ is beginning to teach the very where you treasure, what you see is valuable in your life, that's where you will be. And that's where you'll spend your time. That's where you'll spend your investment. So we're going to keep moving here. And treasure my commandments within you. This word commandments, from what I can see in the lexicon here and the Strong's Concordance as I begin to dig on these words, would be a code of wisdom. So the word code here, and I shared it with you guys last week, the code, well, actually call it, it's a code that's going to tell you what's really holy. Forgive me. It is that which is going to make you separate from the world. If we're to talk about 2 Corinthians 6, it says, come out from among them and be separate. I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. It is a calling out from the world, which is unique because church would be a called out ones. We're the separate ones. And so we have Proverbs here in the Old Testament that God's calling out. He's saying, come follow me. So this code of wisdom, this is the way you want to think and live, and it will be a protecting force in your life. It will bless you. And on top of all of this, if I can stress this enough, God's favor will rest upon you. And we'll see this being played out in different parts of Proverbs, as it says that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, that it's God who makes his enemies be at peace with him. And if we were to even think about Luke chapter 2 with Christ, that as he's standing there in the temple, they're amazed at the things that he's saying. And it says that he grew in the favor of God and man. And if we're thinking of Daniel, that he began to grow in the favor of God and man. And God began to cause those ones that were over him to look kindly upon him. It's God's favor in your life, my son. It is the most important thing that you could ever have. And you want to treasure this. You want to hold on to this with all your heart. And the word bind your fingers in that verse 3, if you see it with me, it literally means to tie yourself. And the word fingers would tie into grasping. I want you to grasp this, son. One of the other titles that Pastor Gary gave it, protect it like your life depends on it. And I think a lot of times as Christians, do we always think this way? But what I can tell you is going through Proverbs and desiring to meditate on these old riddles and desiring to meditate on these proverbs and these sayings, it literally is a protecting force in my life. I have no time to think of anything else, because even when you're interacting with family, you're thinking, how can I do this in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord? How can I do this in a way that tells God that I love him, that I cherish him back? And it changes your whole life. So it's a powerful force, this thing called faith and this thing called love for God. But, okay, so think of commandments as a code of wisdom. Think of it the way I looked up the word code is a system of principles of rules or rules. Think about when you get a job somewhere, they give you the code of conduct. I remember going to school, you'd always get the code of conduct. A lot of times I just threw it in the trash. I never really read it. And I wish I would have now, because I'd probably have a better understanding of Proverbs. but a system of principles or rules that is acceptable. And if we remember Proverbs, when it talks about wisdom, it's not just mental intelligence. And one of the words that I really like trying to put with it is mental acuity, a keenness of perception. It's not just a keenness of perception and intellect. It is that which is of moral integrity and excellence. It is, and to make it as simple as I can, it is that which is pleasing to the Lord in the way we carry ourselves. Very simple fellow. Let me switch here. I have a lot of notes, so you have to forgive me. So we're going to keep moving now. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. This is something that you're going to have to hold on to in your heart. Verse 2 there, keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. The word keep would be the same as samar. It's the same one as in verse 1. It's in the command form. Follow the dictates, son. Follow prudence, justice, kindness, and wisdom. I want these things to be a part of your life. As we go, we have to kind of start to ask ourselves, okay, what particular wisdom is he talking to me about here? And I believe a part of what he's talking about here is that verse 2, the apple of your eye. There has to be a cherishing. Because God cherishes you, there has to be a cherishing back. And if there is, it'll be a protecting force in your life, son. Because then as we go through the second part of the proverb, he's going to talk about this naive young person that's just wandering aimlessly. But in a way, I almost wonder, is it aimlessly? Because he's out at night. You know. So is a part of it telling us that the willing neglect to know God, if we think of Romans 1, will bring great carnage into your life, son. There is a protecting force as you cherish God back. We love because he first loved us. It will be a cleansing, powerful work in your life. So, verse 2, keep my commandments and live. We could go, I love this part too. The word live is hiya. So I think about like karate, hiya. And this is also in the imperative as well. So, you know, look, this is going to be, this is a part of the way you would see the word explain, is to have life, to continue in life, and to remain alive. And another part of it is to sustain life. So if you want to actually have life, if you want to continue down this road and actually remain alive, and if you want to be a benefit to sustain life, if you want to be a benefit and help someone else, you're going to want to keep and you're going to want to guard these things. You're going to want to treasure them in your life. Also, the word life there, live, would be to live prosperously. So as you look up this word prosperous, you'll think of things like successful. I'm going to add in strength and growing. It makes me think of Paul. So we would have to ask ourselves, if you were to look at Paul's life from the ways of the world, we know he basically dies alone, but he says, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. So if we were to look at Paul's life and we were to ask ourselves, what was the purpose of Paul's life after he come to know Christ? And his point was is to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We would say Paul lived a very successful life because he fulfilled what God had created him to do. This is why he'll tell Timothy, fulfill your ministry, Timothy. And we've heard Pastor Gary say many times, there's a reason why God created each and every one of you, each and every one of us. And there is a purpose that God wants to use you in his kingdom. And at times my mind goes to Billy Graham, but it's not about, God called Billy Graham to be Billy Graham. God may have called you to be that mom in that family, to be that light. God may have called you to be that sister in that church, to keep serving and encouraging one another. For all we know, just by, I think of the cafe and all of you women that serve in that cafe. That cafe at one particular time on a given Sunday, you may do something that completely encourages and inspires someone else. And you may not ever know it. And maybe that person comes up and says something to you, and maybe they don't. But God knows. And so if we were to think of Paul's life about living and being prosperous as a Christian. Paul, the whole point in God raising up Paul was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He was successful in doing that. If I think of strength, living prosperously, to be and to have strength to live prosperously and vigorously would be part of the word there. So strength, right? As Paul's facing death at the end of 2 Timothy 4, he's not afraid. He says, everyone has deserted me, but God has not, and God will see me safely home. He finds strength. And we realize that would be success right there. That would be living prosperously as a Christian. And then if I was to think of growing, if I think of John Mark, and at first John Mark was a young man, maybe even younger, maybe an older boy, I'm going to say young man. But we can see that he becomes afraid and it becomes overwhelming and he runs and he deserts Paul and he deserts Barnabas. And Paul would not let him come back. And God ordained that in John Mark's life to make him see the severity. And we can play out all the way to Demas of deserting. You cannot put your hand to the plow and then turn around. And John Mark needed to see the severity at that time. But the way we've been taught, God also ordained Barnabas to come alongside him. And many times we'll laugh and we'll say something along the lines of, well, you got to be Paul today. And, well, actually, you were Paul and I got to be Barnabas. Praise God, because I don't always get to be Barnabas that often. So I enjoy when I get a chance to be a Barnabas. And but you can see by the time you get to the end, Paul says, bring John Mark because he's useful to me. You can see a growing. You can see a finishing the course. Treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live a prosperous, fulfilling life according to God, not according to the world and not according to man. Because what we know according to this world and according to man, that this world's going to burn up and everything in it. You cannot take it with you. Will you live a life that's impactful and beneficial, that's pleasing to God and a true benefit to those that God's placed around you? Very important to kind of think through some of this. So one of the points that I pointed out here, living prosperously according to the world would be about possessions. Living prosperously according to the word of God is, am I pleasing to the Lord and am I leaving an impact for the kingdom of God before he takes me home? That's living prosperously in the kingdom of the Lord. So we keep going, keep my commandments to live and am I teaching as the apple of your eye? This word teaching is going to tie into the word Torah or law. It is that which is direction and instruction. What's also neat is the root word here would be yara. It's to flow as water, to think of refreshing, to think of growth. It also can have a meaning of to throw an arrow. So here it is again, the teaching of God's law, that which he says, thou shalt not. It can tie into the Ten Commandments. It can also tie into the whole Mosaic law, the first five books. So it's unique in that aspect, and I'm still nailing it down. But I do appreciate the word law in the root word to shoot an arrow. Now, ask ourselves again, what is sin? I'm missing the mark of perfection. And God says, I'm giving you my law, and I'm teaching it to you, son, because I want you to hit the bullseye. I want you to know what's pleasing to me. I don't want you to wander around out there aimlessly, because sin's crouching at the door, just like with Cain, and you got to master that. So it is that word to shoot the arrow. It is also to point as with a finger, so you're aiming with the finger. So you're informing and you're instructing. That mental acuity, and it also would tie into as if a father beginning, it's the teaching of a parent. So in a way, the parent is teaching and trying to explain to you, this is what's pleasing to the Lord. If we were to like go into Deuteronomy 6, we don't have a lot of time right now, but if we were to go into Deuteronomy 6, one of the things that you would see is God directing the children of Israel. You're going to have a feast on this day and this day and this day, and you're going to have a holy congregation, and you're going to bring all the people together. And he says, and when the time comes that your children ask you, why are we doing this? He said, you're going to tell them what God did for you. You're going to tell them how he brought you up out of Egypt. You're going to tell them all the amazing things that he did for you, because God is love and God cares for you. And you're going to begin to instill this into your children. And you're going to begin to tell them. If we were to go into my teaching as the apple of your eye, if I can put it this way, the word of God, the law of God, the direction of God, the instruction of God has to be cherished. The apple of the eye, if we were to go into Deuteronomy 32, we don't have a lot of time, and this happened last week, I apologize. Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 17, well, Deuteronomy 32, 10, Psalm 17, 6 through 12, Zechariah chapter 2, 6 through 8, you could go all the way to 10. One of the things that you're going to see is that God began to separate Israel from the rest of the world. So what we're going to say is God's people. So you're God's people. There's a principle here, right? And he says, I found you, I encircled you, I cared for you, and I protected you. And he says, that's what I did. And he wants us to be, wow, you care that much for me? He says, yeah. And what's unique is it's in the book of Deuteronomy, which we know is in those first five books, which is a part of those letters of Moses. He says, go back and read it. And then you go into, of course, Psalm 17, and King David is saying, my enemies have surrounded me. God, you keep me as the apple of your eye. My desire is to know that I'm cared for by you, and you're going to take care of these enemies. They're too strong for me. And if you think about a Christian, I cannot fight the way they fight anyway. So the natural tendency in the flesh is, well, I'm just vulnerable here. And God goes, no, I've got you. I fight your battles. As you trust me, I'm the one that protects and cares for you. That's that Psalm 17 there. And then if we were to go into Zechariah chapter 2, where they're being oppressed by the people around them, and he's calling out and he says, get out of Babylon. Stop living like Babylon's living, because you're the apple of my eye, and I'm fixing to bring wrath, and I'm wanting you out of there, and you're important to me. And a part of this is, in my teaching as the apple of your eye, God's law is the apple of your eye, is going to tie into the pupil of the eye, which is also unique about middle, single-mindedness, I would say, has to fit in here somewhere. But a part of the word is simile of preciousness. And if you think about the eye and the retina, and there's a lot that goes into it, it's in the eye socket, it's protected not only by the cheekbone, the forehead, it's in natural, you know, reflection without you even knowing it. And on top of all that, you have this thing called an eyelid. If anything even gets close to your eye, the eyelid comes down. Very rare. I mean, it can happen. It does happen. But the eye is ultra protected. And it is that which you see out of. There's so much that goes into that we could go into just this phrase alone. But it is that which is precious. And God wants us to know that. So if God, like last week, the title, if God so loved you, if you were so important and precious to him, and so let me stop here for a second. Do you believe that? He wants you to believe this. There's so many decisions that we might make in our life and different things that might come into our life and things that may happen. And we may begin to doubt of God's love and care because of things that are going on. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Will you so choose today to believe that you are loved and you are precious in the sight of God? And that through Jesus Christ, all sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. And would you be willing tonight to believe that truth and believe that through his blood on that cross that you are forgiven and that you are restored and reconciled to God? He wants you to believe that. That is a powerful force in your life. So as the teaching is, as the apple of your eye, is preciousness. Verse 3, what I want you to do with that, with this law that's so valuable to you because you were so valuable to God. I want you to bind them on your fingers. I love this word bind. It is that which is to tie. We talked about this some last week. To knit physically or mentally in love and brotherhood. We could go into other verses that would complement this. But I want you to grasp them. I want you to tie yourself to them. I want you to write them on the tablet of your heart. So the word write there would be to inscribe, to engrave. The tablet, if you think about the Ten Commandments, the tablet, it's in concrete. You can go down to St. Augustine even today and you think about headstones. And you can walk past that cemetery and you'll literally see engravings in concrete from as far back as the 1800s, maybe even further. And it's still there. It is something to be remembered. It is something to be held on to. It is something that needs to come into your heart, and it needs to be the center of our hearts, that He loves you and He wants you to love Him back. That alone will be a protecting force in your life. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, "You are my sister." This is figurative of an intimate connection. If I was to think of Simeon and Levi with Dinah, I'm not saying what they did was right. And if I was to think of Absalom with Tamar, and if we were to look at the passages, when their sisters were defiled and hurt, and to see the zeal and the passion that these men acted with, I'm not saying what they did was right. But what you can see is the emotion of the zeal and the honor that these men desired to protect their sisters or to avenge their sisters. But you can see that fire. Say to wisdom, "You are my sister." The ways of God that we are zealous and passionate for, desire to honor, desire to care for, desire to protect. Because as a king, and according to 1 Timothy, the church is the pillar and support of truth. There is a desire within you to honor and be zealous for, and to protect these things of God, the ways of God. And call understanding your intimate friend. Think of closeness, a kinsman. If I was to take you to 2 Samuel 18:1, we would say, do we think Jonathan would ever forget David? The word, it says, Jonathan was knit to David. His soul was knit to his soul, and he loved him as himself. And so if you think of the intimate friend, the knowledge and understanding of the things of God and the things that we learn, he goes, I want you to see this in a way as Jonathan would David. Do you think Jonathan would ever forget David? We know that long after Jonathan was gone, David even spent time trying to still honor Jonathan's legacy, sometimes in the wrong way, but the desire was there. It was a love that was intense. It was a love that was passionate. It was a love that was enduring. So what will all of this do? And here's my point in verse 5. That they, the wisdom of God and the understanding of God, so the knowledge of God, the insight of God, the word of God, the law of God, the commands of God, that which is pleasing to God, the law of God, the word of God, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. Now, we're going to pick up more next week, and then the following Wednesday we'll have our Christmas Wednesday night Christmas service. So Lord willing, we're going to kind of try to walk through this. I know it's hard to believe, but we're going to try to walk through, Lord willing, the rest of the proverb and see exactly what He's wanting to protect us from. And that, if I can reiterate tonight, that God so sees His people as precious in the apple of His eye. He so loves us dearly. Shall we not in turn love Him back? And that as that deep affection, as you begin to come before God and say, God, I want to love you the same way I want to love you back. As you take on that heart alone will be a protecting force in your life from you swaying off track. And I would say this, I would say, there can be a tendency in a Christian's life to get saved for a little while or come into places where he's now has no one telling him what to do and he's coming into his own, that he takes his eyes off of truly understanding how much God loves them and everything God has done for him. Well, Deuteronomy 8 would explain it best. Once I bring you into the good land and you've grown happy and you've grown satisfied, don't forget me. Don't forget, because when you do, you're going to go into looking for fulfillment in all the wrong things, and all it's going to do is separate you from me, and it's going to bring carnage in your life, son. I don't want that for you. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you give us your word that tells us your heart, that, Lord, you are love, and that you saw us in our weakened state, and that, Lord, you encircled us, that, Lord, you cared for us, and that, Lord, you are our protection. You're the one that sees us, so you encircled us. You see us, Lord. You know our frame. You know we're but dust. We know, Lord, that the things that you bring into our lives are necessary for us to see your goodness and to grow and be more like you. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. Give us strength and give us insight, Lord. Give us fervency. Give us passion. Give us zeal to love you back. And, Lord, we believe that as we realize just how much you love us and everything you've done for us, there is no greater love. May that love be on the throne of our hearts. And, Lord, we believe, as you're telling us, and, Lord, we experience, that it'll be a protecting force in our lives, protecting us from going the wrong way, from aimlessly wandering, or even deceptively wandering. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.